It's only been a week since the last one.
A whole week.
A whole week. Does that mean we're in a regular creation space?
Until it doesn't happen next week. But if it does happen next week, yes, we're back on the wagon.
Great. Back on it. Awesome. We got such good feedback from the last episode.
We did. People said we have good radio voices.
Yeah.
Probably faces for radio too.
Oh, that's a good way to start. Hello everyone, welcome to the Etch Podcast. It's Amy and Ross here today. Say hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Let's start with news.
News.
What's happening, Amy?
What's happening in the world? There's a ferry going past the window.
Yeah, that is going out.
It's the boat show this week. We can see lots of tents and boats and stuff.
And flags.
Flags.
Yeah. Maybe it's a flag convention and we're looking the wrong direction.
You said you've not been before, but no. I think if you go, you'll probably find lots of stands selling things like flags and ropes and things like that. It is. Yeah.
I didn't know flags were so essential to being on a boat.
Well, you got to show everyone, I don't know, where you're from or what you like or... Yeah.
But never mind about that.
No.
How was the first part of your content design academy?
It was really good. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. We're back in Old Paradise Yard by Waterloo, mm-hmm. which is really cool. They've got like a little farm there and everything. And when I went there for the content design meetup a few months ago, someone said that it used to be like a Buddhist retreat or something.
It looks like a hippie commune.
It's so cool. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. But the academy itself was good too, apart from just the venue. It was awesome. We had the first part was kind of an Ask the Experts with our client for the academy, who is a lady called Lynette from the charity Action Duchenne. All about Duchenne disease, which is like a muscular dystrophy charity. It's a horrible disease. I had no idea about this, but it was amazing to speak to her, and hopefully we can start crafting some amazing content to help families of people with Duchenne and help kind of raise more awareness and raise more funds for treatment and things like that. So it's awesome. It was kind of the kickoff week, but I loved it.
That's really cool. So that's happening over the next 12 weeks?
Yep. Got 11 weeks left now. So, every Tuesday night I'm going to be in there heads down on, doing some awesome content design for that.
At the farm. Nice.
How about you? What have you been up to?
We're content grazers. I've had a good week so far, being it a Friday, but there's been a lot going on. So we're teaming up with Mural, the online whiteboard awesome design thinking tool, to do a meetup in it's going to be Tuesday the 24th September, and we're going to be talking about how to create a culture of innovation and get 30,000 people to join you.
Amazing.
It is well clickbait worthy.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm expecting lots of people to come. But I had some really good conversations. I talked to, if anyone in the sprint community knows of Xander Pollock, I talked to him on Tuesday, and he's the guy that pretty much runs the sprint Slack channel. And he really was, from my perspective, the first design sprint consultant after you pester Jake, John and Braden, who just goes out and runs sprints. He would say he's a proper disciple.
Okay, he's like an original disciple.
He does it to the book, and and he's awesome. So that's been great. And I also met up with the Mural gang to plan our session at Google Sprint Conference.
Awesome.
Which should be very interactive and very, very cool.
And that's a good interactive bunch, isn't it? I've seen you on those calls, and you have lots of faces on your screen.
Yeah, they're really nice. They they're kind of distributed all around the world. There's some in Boulder, there's some in other places. I can't even think where. And they're really good. They're great at timekeeping, actually, which is probably their superpower. But so, yeah, this week's for me has been kind of planning and getting things done. And, yeah, looking forward to going on to next week.
What have you got on next week?
Yeah, same again.
More of the good stuff.
Yeah, there's some really interesting conversations going on at the moment, and hopefully we'll be able to share a bit more. I'm actually talking at Growth Surfing, which is a new mini conference meetup type thing here in Southampton on Thursday morning.
Oh yeah, you're doing a free breakfast, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm not making the breakfast though.
No. But you know, you'll get a nice free breakfast.
I hope so.
I think so.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
A good reward. Awesome. So what do we want to talk about today, Amy? What is on your mind?
On my mind today and this week and always is inclusive writing and, yeah, making sure that, you know, when you're writing things for sites and products, that we're not excluding people, and we're kind of checking our biases and all of these sorts of things. Mm. Mm. And you've been doing a little bit of research into jargon and kind of wowing me with all of this slang from this year that I'd never heard of.
Yeah.
But you said that your kids are using all the time.
Well, exactly. So I'm learning so much from my children. My children are age 11 and 8, and they're saying stuff that I have to Google every time. And I'll give you a little crash course into my kind of world when I talk to these young people. So Gucci means mm-hmm. good. So if something is Gucci, like, you're looking Gucci today.
Oh, cheers.
That means good. Spill the tea.
Yeah.
I was aware of that one.
Yeah, I like that one.
That's when you're talking about someone behind their back. Yeah, ratchet.
Mm-hmm.
That's a nice one to bring out. So they talk about loads of stuff. Yeet comes up a lot also, which means something is extra good. But it reminds me of all the kind of language that we use in our day-to-day work lives. Mm-hmm. And I got snooping, and a lot of my thoughts and opinions on it are echoed around the world. So things that essentially jargon is just this kind of elitist language or a piece of language that a community understands, mm-hmm. but not wider than that. So you can have things like, I don't know, let's circle back on this.
Yeah.
What on earth does that mean? What that means is, let's revisit this topic at another time. Talking at a high level, honestly, there should be like this jargon jar that people just throw money into.
We did have a situation in the office yesterday where, naming no names, but James Perrin said the word synergy.
Ooh.
And luckily everyone started kind of, you know,
laughing at him.
Yeah, making fun of him and calling him David Brent from The Office UK. So I don't think he's going to be using that word again.
Yeah, thanks for spilling the tea on.
Yeah, you're welcome. Right. I'm like that gif of Kermit sipping his tea.
There's so much. And oh, let's take this offline, Amy. so destructive. So yeah, I know that. God, Chris Lars is like the loudest person in the whole studio.
You can hear him from anywhere, can't you?
There is no Chris Lars filter in Adobe Audition, unfortunately.
What?
I need the engineers to make something. So
he's eyeing up the room. I think it's not long before he'll be walking through the door.
Yeah, he does want to get on the podcast. He needs to have a better idea of what to talk about, though, because his ideas are just bordering on, just a bit kind of, do we want to talk about that really? Kind of, those kind of things. He's a great guy. Big love to Chris.
Big love.
So, So yeah, people use them to sound more professional.
Yeah.
They're justifying some of their value and it gives authority.
That's the thing, isn't it? I don't think anyone actually really maybe want, you know, people know the, how to say things, but they just think that by saying this, it's going to make them seem more clever to managers or, yeah, boost that intelligence by saying these words that just don't make any sense.
Yeah. I think it's actually harder to put things into simpler language.
True.
Like I have to kind of work out what I want to say and then avoid all those kind of words. And because I know that jargon's used for people to make them sound important.
Mm.
And when they want to sound intelligent or just go along with the rest of the conversation. I think people feel like they're being tested.
Mm-hmm.
And if you use the accepted language, then you're kind of part of the group and the conversation, and people aren't going to go, well, Amy, are you really following what we're talking about here?
And
that kind of thing. How does this move into the language that we use to communicate in terms of content design?
I mean, ideally, you want to be making things as accessible to everyone as possible. I think I would say that the jargon is usually a lot worse when you see things like B2B comms, and people always just kind of have this assumption that, you know, the people that we're selling to, you know, they're very high powered business people. Yeah. And all of this kind of stuff, so they're going to be using this language. But actually, the people that you're selling to are people who are still just trying to do a job, and they're just trying to find a solution.
Mm.
And you're just slowing them down.
Mm.
Sarah at Content Design London, she always says, you know, it's not dumbing down, it's opening up.
Yeah.
Because you'll always have that kind of pushback from someone if you're editing copy or anything like this, and they'll say, you're dumbing down my words. But you're not dumbing down words, you're just making them more accessible, but also just kind of easier for everyone to be able to take in quickly and to be able to do what they want to do and what you need them to do if you're a business.
Yeah, people seem to always go to the hardest way to do something, to either justify their time spent on making it, or like, I find this when I'm trying to look for the times of the local tip.
Mm-hmm.
It's not called the local tip, it's called a recycling centre.
Yeah.
And, you know, my learned language is that it's the dump or the tip. And yeah, it's not that at all. So it takes me a while to figure out, as I'm browsing, what it is I'm actually looking for.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know government did something on this. They were playing around with, I think they were talking about how to explain like problems that you might have going to the toilet or something. And they used different...
You're talking about the NHS?
Yes.
How people... Yeah, so... yeah, so the example is people searching for things like there's blood in my poo.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, people aren't, if that's happening to you, you're not going to be in a state of mind where you're sitting there thinking, oh, let me just search for feces and whatever a fancy word for blood is.
Yeah.
You know, this is happening to you, you're worried. Yeah. You're just going to be searching for something in, the most kind of simple terms that come to mind.
I have no idea why I said government. I guess when I thought poo, I immediately went there. I don't know.
Weird.
Mm, crazy. So,
but yeah, again, when a few months ago, there was a Daily Mail article where actually they talked to a content designer about this. And there were so many comments, obviously, from Daily Mail readers who were going, why are they all dumbing down our NHS website, blah, blah, blah. No, that's ridiculous. It's making it so much easier for people to be able to find the advice that they need and to be able to, you know, kind of get help so much quicker and easier. And yeah, it's a bit of a battle.
Yeah. And people invent words all the time. I know that any business or any products is creating language to kind of push out there and say, this is our contribution. I mean, every feature that comes out of a Apple event, like they decide to call it something like
a slow fee.
Yeah, with that, they're going to add that to the language. That's not going to stick. So is the problem that people in companies feel like they have to be important and use this language so they can appear professional and feel authoritative in this space.
I think there is quite a bit of that happening, and I think it's probably when people are writing things for a website, the person they have in mind is like their ideal customer, and they might be thinking, well, our ideal customer is very well educated and blah blah blah, all of this. But, you know, depending on what your business is or service or anything, especially if it's a service, literally anyone could be using, you know, coming to you. It could be someone who doesn't have English as a first language. It could be someone who is just ridiculously, you know, rushed for time and is trying to get a million things done in one day. Or, yeah, it could be someone who has, you know, has got some kind of visual impairment or something. And
yeah.
Or just anyone who just doesn't want to sit there and scroll through a whole load of text and words. And, you know, it just generally actually doesn't scan and read as easy. So by making it, you know, making what you're trying to say into short, concise, easy to read sentences with words that people know, you're helping everyone. And that's why things like the government website has a reading age of 9.
Yeah, this 7 is or the 9. Whole thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the average reading age, is it in the UK?
In the UK, yeah. But yeah, I mean, it doesn't mean that, you know, you're writing a website for a load of 9-year-olds to sit there and understand everything that the government's doing, but it's just making it easier for everyone.
Yeah.
Literally, you know, anything that could have any kind of effect, like actually talking about the Action Duchenne content that we're doing. So it's a website that will need to be used and looked at by people who have Duchenne disease. Mm. And quite often having Duchenne goes hand in hand with, or people who have Duchenne quite often have learning disabilities,
yeah.
Or learning difficulties or something like that. So it needs to be easily understood by people who, you know, maybe can't always grasp kind of longer words and difficult sentence structure and things like that.
Mm. And for kind of inclusivity, I know that there was a article in The Guardian a couple of years ago now from Anne Cassidy that talked about often there being like sexual innuendo or some kind of violent component. She describes it to corporate jargon. Like it's yeah. a boys' club kind of language that they use. And, you know, it can be just completely, you know, toxic to that environment. And that was really interesting from her. If you want to look at it, the article is called Squaring the Circle on Jargon, which, which, you know, why do we speak in riddles at work? And they are riddles, like, you know, they don't make any sense. I found myself talking to Steph at home sometimes, and she's saying, what do you mean by that? And I'm like, oh God, I've done it again.
Yeah.
I've used this word. So yeah, it's if you watch Silicon Valley on HBO or similar, that has a lot in it. Yeah. So to streamline this,
yeah,
Amy, there's another one. What should people acknowledge? So speaking in a language that anyone can understand, and I guess that's broad, like not everyone's going to understand, because I guess there is no simple one language. But what should people do? And I know this is about breaking up content and choosing what's kind of avenue to go down. Here's another piece of jargon. what should people do as they're starting to look at this?
So I mean, there are so many different ways that you can actually exclude people with content online, and it could be, you know, something like even today I saw on a Slack channel that I'm in, someone was looking for a design director, and they were talking about the ideal person, and you know, they couldn't find anyone to fill this role, and someone said, oh, you know, what kind of, I don't know, what kind of level of sway, or whether there'll be a seat at the table, that kind of thing, which yeah. I guess in itself is sort of one anyway. But then yeah, the person who was looking for this design director said, well, he will do this and he will do that and blah blah blah. It's like, why are you just automatically assuming that your new design director that you're looking for is going to be a man? Like, you've already just cut out like half of the population. Like,
yeah,
no wonder you can't find the right person.
Yeah, so two things on that. I stop myself every time of saying guys.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. there was a study or an article done where a teacher in class would say guys all the time. Mm-hmm. And they found that all the boys would engage in that activity.
Right.
And it would kind of create this divide within that group. But the second thing is learning from Jake Knapp does this perfectly well. In any given story or example, he will always say she.
Yeah, I've noticed that, yeah.
Always, without fail. Mm. Like he's just, he will just spill it off his kind of tongue of doing that. And that, if you don't notice it, then you're probably not listening, because it's such a big deal doing that. And yeah, hats off to Jake for that.
Yeah, and you often see it with things like assumptions that bosses are male, but also just like within roles, you know, we see kind of assumptions that engineers or developers or anything that's kind of seen to be more techie and things like that, that they're male, and you know, doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
Let's open it up a bit. But also, you know, there are ways that people can feel excluded by things like form options that don't apply, or, you know, not wanting to put in some information if that's not something they want to put in there, mm-hmm. or yeah, not being able to find advice that works for them. Did you know that a massive amount of medical information that you can find online is actually only really applicable to men? There are things like if you Google like heart attack symptoms, the automatic heart attack symptoms that you'll find will just be symptoms for men, because there's just generally been so much less research into what things like this are like for women.
Oh, wow.
I think it's the book Invisible Women, which kind of goes into quite a lot of detail about this. But actually, yeah, the symptoms are totally different for women. And even on things like kind of ambulance and first aid training, you're learning that, you know, you might get shooting pains in your left arm and stuff like that. But apparently things like that just aren't applicable to women. So it's kind of things like that where just straight away you're kind of being excluded by the content that's out there. But I mean, yeah, there are obviously things that you can do, and people, you know, should kind of consider things like this. So actually, one of the things that is always just good to do is just getting out of your comfort zone and having conversations with people who are totally different to you.
Yeah.
I know people, we quite often like to sit in our little kind of tech and whatever bubble and imagine who we're writing for and imagining kind of the perfect customer. But actually, just by going out and just talking to someone who you normally wouldn't talk to, you'll start to see so many different kind of points of view. And I know it sounds really simple and everything, but it's doesn't always happen. It doesn't often happen at all.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good one.
Yeah.
Making sure that you're kind of exposing yourself to different points of view through things like books and media. And there's so much, you know, there's so many kind of really good books that are especially coming out at the minute. Things like Why I'm No Longer Talking to White People About Race. Books like that. Just even, you know, you might look at the cover and think it doesn't apply to you, but it totally does. If you're making something that's going out into the world, it massively applies to you.
Yeah.
So yeah, there are lots of different things, the kind of just different ways that you can make sure that you're talking to people. And also just keep kind of considering what it's easy to dismiss as an edge case. You don't know what kind of an edge case that is. That could be someone who actually, you know, it's a much higher percentage of your kind of your audience, or, I mean, it doesn't even matter if it is an edge case. It's still someone who's important and who still deserves to be able to access that content.
Yeah, totally. No, that's really good. There's another book to read. I haven't read it myself, but it's On Writing Well by William Zinsser. And yeah, he says, because in this day and age, clear and concise speech will make you stand out from the crowd. So it's actually a competitive advantage to speak and communicate in language that is going to be without jargon and a bit more approachable, I guess.
It totally is. And also, it's not easy. Like, it is, being able to write in that way is a big kind of learned skill as well. It's that's why it's frustrating to see kind of people who are copywriters or content designers or whoever being, you know, kind of underappreciated in organizations or underappreciated in monetary value or anything, because it is such a skill to be able to do.
Yeah.
I know that we don't have to use kind of fancy code, or we don't have to sit and make things look nice, but we do have to still, you know, create something that works with people's brains.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I'm so lazy. English is my only language. And, you know, for anyone trying to understand something that is just full of these kind of weird, you know, sayings and things that are just not understood.
Yeah, all sorts of different kind of idioms and things like that. Like
idioms, that's what I was trying to think of.
Yeah, if you say to someone about, oh, you know, it's like trying to look for a needle in a haystack.
Mm.
What does that mean to so many different people?
Yeah.
Or it will mean something, but they'll be like, well, why have you suddenly started talking about haystacks and needles?
The one I always do, because I know some people do understand it, but I am going to start to not use it, is the elephant in the room.
Oh, okay. Yep.
So in the workshops that we do, we try and expose the elephant in the room, which generally means talk about the thing that is really obvious, but no one's really talking about.
Yeah. The thing that everyone's avoiding.
And yeah. Yeah. They're kind of walking around this hypothetical elephant. So I should stop saying that and start saying, let's talk about the thing no one's talking about.
Yes.
Cool. I've got to go and beat my face, apparently.
I don't even want to ask what's happening here.
That means applying makeup.
Oh, okay.
No, maybe just a bit of moisturiser.
Man, I didn't know that one. Maybe I don't spend as much time on Instagram as I thought I did.
Gucci. great. So let's do a regular feature of what Amy's Word of the Week is.
Oh, no.
Which will help with your next awesome meeting.
Yeah, I've already said today that I can't think of my word in a week. Week in a word, word in a week.
Week in a word.
Week in a word.
Word in a week.
What's yours while I think of mine?
I don't go to these meetings.
No, but you're here right now, so.
I am here. I'm present.
Is that your word? Present. Have you had a very present week?
Yeah.
Let me have a look at my calendar. What have I been doing this week?
Well, Amy's looking for her word of the week, which isn't on the tip of her tongue, as they would say.
Do you know what? It's so bad, because normally everyone just kind of comes in with the defaults of it's been busy. Or it's been productive. You get loads of productives, which is good.
Yeah.
But
last week for you, it was proud.
Yeah.
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 See, I do. I remember that.
Yeah. I was proud last week.
Yeah.
Let's go for growth.
Growth
this week.
That's really good.
Yeah. Ooh,
top tip. I'm trying to find it now. There is a website. Yes, here it is. That Ben here found a few minutes ago. Growth.design. It has a number of case studies about how companies have grown. They've got really awesome clickbait titles like Tesla, How to Grow Through Word of Mouth.
Nice.
And 5 Deadly Onboarding Mistakes You Should Ban. And things like How Amazon Will Change Worldwide Shopping Habits with This New UX Checkout. So it's really cool. The coolest thing about it is how they present some of their stories. How accessible they are, I do not know, because they're highly animated and using a lot of JavaScript. But it's quite an entertaining look at some of these stories. That is growth.design. Any other top tips or articles or things you've seen this week, Amy?
Yes. Sorry about that.
Or you've written one?
No, I'm writing one at the minute. There'll be one next week.
Okay.
There's been a really good article by Lauren, who is my writing mentor, writing coach at the minute. She's written a really good blog about why people should be writing more at work and why writing should be your work.
Yeah.
So creating content, it should be part of your work and, you know, kind of helping your professional visibility, but also how it does help businesses in the long run as well. So that's really interesting. We'll stick a link to that.
Definitely. We have show notes for that very reason. Yeah, we actually have a thing in our timekeeping thing which says content creation, just like we're doing now.
Yeah.
What did I see? I saw something that made me... I'm a keen kind of fan of about trust. Like, things happen when there is trust, but I'm more of the opinion that trust is something that's given and enabled rather than something that's earned, because how do you even play that game? I have no idea.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Dominic Monkhouse shared this article, which Tom shared earlier. But yeah, it's it really talks about trust in business, which I think is very important. Yeah. And he talks about how it came from the Industrial Revolution and that kind of thing. So we'll put that in the show notes. And yeah, we'll do that. As a final thought, one of our goals with this podcast was to really hit the top levels of the business category.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we need to get more on top of that.
Yeah, I had totally forgotten about that.
Like, we obsess about success metrics and, you know, trying to work out what we want to achieve. And that was like the one. And yeah, we need to do that. We didn't want this to be like just another design podcast to add to the noise. It's more like design in business, because that's where we apply content and product design. So what we may do now that we got some good feedback from last week is we might start asking for reviews. That would be awesome. So wherever you are, if you could either on Apple or Google or I'm not sure if Spotify do reviews. I have no idea. It would be awesome if you could give us a review and just say what you enjoy about it, what you get out of it, you know, listening to us every so often. I know someone in the world listens to us when he's making coffee in the morning. So that would be awesome to hear and share, and may start playing the algorithm and us rising above.
Let's do this.
Hack the system and play the game. Cool, Amy. Thank you for spending time with me this week.
Thanks very much.
And we'll see each other next week.
Yes.
Yay.
Not before then.
Not before then.
We'll just avoid each other in the office.
Yeah. Just yep. Blank.
Yep.
Yeah. And we'll spill the tea then.
Looking forward to it.
Okay, bye.
Bye.